Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It is social month, and I've got my father, John Butcher, in the studio today.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, man. We're here to answer the Lifebook listeners' questions, and we've got some great questions here, and we're just going to jump right in.
Let's do it.
First question from Melinda R. What has been your biggest social transformation in your lifetime, and what was the catalyst?
Well, you know, I've talked about this before, Jordan. Missy and I never really had a strong social life when we were younger. We had a huge family and didn't really seek out high-quality friends. We just were ignorant about this category.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Back then, pretty much anyone who happened to walk through our front door got into our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that all changed about 25 years ago when we met Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. He was really the catalyst that exploded our social life and really made us understand how incredibly important this category is. I lost two younger brothers to drugs and alcohol, and Nathaniel introduced me to two men who ended up becoming my brothers, my replacement brothers. The first one was Dr. Pat Gintempo, who is just my philosophical and spiritual brother.
Mm-hmm.
Pat has been such a blessing in my life, and Pat has really introduced me to a lot of wonderful people, especially a lot of chiropractors who... Miss and I really love chiropractors. They resonate with us, and we resonate with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the second man that Nathaniel introduced me to was Joe Polish, who's like a brother to me. And meeting Joe just exploded our social life.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's an incredible connector, maybe one of the best in the country, and has introduced us to so many amazing people. So we can trace our friends, our entire network back to those three men, Nathaniel, Pat Gintempo, and Joe Polish, which just goes to show you how important it is to hang around with the right people. You meet the right people, they can become a catalyst for really exploding this area of your life. So yeah, I think that, and I've said this before, our social life has been our biggest area of growth for the last 10 years, and it's yielded the most amazing results.
And it's funny you say whoever walks in the door, because that's how everyone's social life kind of starts, right? You go to school, whoever's at your school is going to be your friend.
Exactly.
You go to
go to church, you go to, you know, and most people assemble their social network unconsciously, just like we used to. But when you understand how incredibly important this category is specifically, when you understand that you become like your friends.
Right.
Friendships have a huge gravitational pull on your personality. You sink or rise to the level of the people that you spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
They rub off on you. So once you know that, you've really got to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, meeting the great people we met, we really started to assemble an arsenal of social strategies and criteria, basically, and got just more and more fine-tuned on exactly what we wanted in this category of our life. And it's been the big game changer of the last 10 years for us.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that leads very well into the next question from Kendra D. How do you and Missy determine who you socialize with?
In a word, I would say values. We want to socialize with people with whom we share common values.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we want to hang around with people who are positive, who are uplifting, supportive, encouraging, who are, you know, experiencing forward motion in their life, who want to make themselves better every day and who want to make the world a better place. We don't have any room in our lives for negative, unsupporting people or people who are unkind or people who try to tear us down. So many people tolerate people like that in their lives. And with Missy and I, we have such important goals and aspirations. We have a hard enough time getting our goals accomplished because they're so big. Without, you know, being pulled down by negative people, I think, you know, we can't afford that kind of an energy drain in our life. We just simply can't afford it. So our purpose, as you guys know, is to create the highest possible quality of life that we can for ourselves and the people we love and help others around us do the same. We're interested in hanging out with people like that, who are on that same path, who share our same sense of life. You know, we had dinner with friends just night before last. We had Christine and Joey were over. She's from Taiwan.
Love Christine.
Yeah, Christine's awesome. She's a Lifebook Ultimate member. And we had Ken and Jean Newman over, who are also Lifebook members, who were introduced to us by Joe Polish, one of the most wonderful couples we know. And, you know, with Christine, we had amazing conversations. She is sort of in a career change right now. She's discovered that she's an intuitive healer. She's taking Reiki classes. So, you know, this is how the conversations go. We're talking about the amazing things that we're doing in our lives and the way we're changing the world and how we're learning and growing. With Ken and Jean, you know, they're also in a career transition right now. Ken was one of the most successful real estate developers in the country, and he's now transitioning to getting into the health space, and he's creating a company that is going to change the planet. And so what a wonderful night full of conversation about all the good and positivity that we can do in the world. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about here.
You don't want to just complain about your day with your friends? Take turns complaining about your day?
God, those Cardinals. They can't hit a ball, right? You know, no, exactly. Even when with our family dinners, Jordan, they're always uplifting, awesome conversations.
Totally.
I mean, we have no time for mediocre friendships. We have no time for, you know, a night of wasted time talking about the weather and the last score on the hockey game.
Yeah, totally.
We're just not about that.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Next question from Neil F. And this is interesting because rhythms and rituals are two words that have come up a zillion times on the Lifebook VIP podcast. It seems like success in so many of the categories has to do with rhythm and rituals, much like you're always saying.
For sure, yeah.
Well, do you have any rhythm to your social life? And if so, what is it?
You know, rituals, absolutely. Rhythms, we have one strong rhythm in our social life, and that is our accountability group, our ultimate accountability group. So we have an accountability couple, and we're in an accountability group for Lifebook Ultimate. And we also have an awesome Lifebook Ultimate community where we get together every month. So we're on weekly accountability calls with another couple, and then monthly accountability calls with our Ultimate group. And that would really be the only real rhythm in our social life. Rituals, though, we have a lot of social rituals, most important of which is to travel with friends. So we go on a trip at least once or twice a year, and we invite our closest friends. And that's one of the best ways that we, you know, interact with our friends. There's nothing better than travel. If you want to go fast, if you want to go deep, you know, get into another culture and have an adventure together. You create a lifetime of memories that way. We've been all over the world with our best friends. And, you know, we don't have a lot of – we were talking to Ken and Jean about this at dinner the other night. Miss and I don't have a lot of friends here in Chicago. We've got a few couples that we hang out with, but our friends are spread out all over the world, which is awesome because we can go visit them or they can come visit us.
Right.
You know, so yeah, so I would say – that's our one rhythm is our accountability group, but then we've got a bunch of strategies, travel being the most important.
Lifebook travel, man. People love Lifebook travel. I just did an interview with...
Well, we've met so many great friends through Lifebook travel, yeah.
Yeah, I did a great interview with Ron House, and he was just glowing review of Lifebook travel and just the conversations you have with the people that go on those trips.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, that trip, Ron and Heather came to Bali with their six kids, and they hung out with us for a couple weeks over there. And yeah, I mean, it was awesome.
I wouldn't want to go to Target with my six kids.
No kidding. I was like, Ron, you're our hero, man. Yeah, I mean, yeah. People think when they have kids that they can't travel anymore, and they certainly can't travel with their kids. Well, Ron and Heather proved that false, and we had a wonderful time. Just great conversations, you know, awesome personal development conversations, a lot of them centering around traveling with kids. Then coming back and sharing some of that information with the Lifebook community, it was awesome.
That's great. Next question from Casey S. When you travel, do you meet new people? How? Just referrals from friends? After spending 2 months in Toronto, we found it hard to make actual connections outside of the gym.
That is a great question, Casey. And the answer is absolutely. We always meet new friends when we travel. And Missy and I go out of our way. We're more social on our trips than we are at home.
Yeah, I've seen that. You like meet people at bars and stuff.
Exactly.
Like
bars and clubs and gyms and yoga classes and wherever we always set up childcare wherever we go, or we used to when our kids were younger. So we however we can meet people in other countries, we do. We go out of our way. And the reason for that is we've developed an amazing worldwide network of people.
Totally.
Like, and Lifebook has been a great source. Lifebook members all over the world. So, you know, if we're going to go to an exotic place like Transylvania, we're hooked up. Mm-hmm. We got four people waiting there to give us hugs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We got friends all over the world in just about, you know, just about any country or any region, I should say. And we treasure those friendships. We work hard on them and we seek them out. When other people travel, we can hook them up with our friends in other countries and make sure that those connections are solid. And I'll tell you, Jordan, there's nothing better than – if you're going to travel abroad, there's nothing better than being received in the country that you're going to by someone who's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different experience, right? I mean, you're hooked up with all the right things to do, all the right places to eat, all the right things to see, anything you need. It's so much better than being in a city alone.
Yeah,
so, yes, we focus a lot of energy on that.
Mm-hmm. Just going out of your way to literally engage in social situations that you wouldn't otherwise.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, really pushing it there. And, you know, something that has been more present in my life are these Facebook groups. If you really do want to just meet new friends, Facebook groups are a great way to do it if you're into CrossFit or whatever it is. There's a Facebook group out there in your city. I'm sure Toronto has a bunch. So
yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of tools out there. I'm not on social media, but I know that that's an incredible tool for doing exactly that. And yeah, I would, for those of you who love to travel, I would strongly recommend, you know, bring some consciousness to how can you create a network in other countries? Can you reach out? Like, if you're going to go on a trip, can you figure out a way to reach out, meet some people online or maybe over the phone, and be received when you get there? It's a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm. Next question from Joy M. Any tips on keeping in communication with friends and family without being overwhelmed?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm not on social media. Missy's barely on social media. She finally, she's been running companies the last couple years, and when she stepped into these CEO roles, she decided she better get on social media, and she's been leveraging that because Missy's strength is relationships. So she finally broke down and got on Facebook, and she's loving it. You know, I mean, it's an incredible tool.
That's not something that you guys face really. Is the social media overwhelm? That's not a problem that you guys run into.
It's not a problem that I run into. I just made a decision years ago. I don't need any more orifices in my life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it's not for me. I certainly don't begrudge people who use it because it's an incredible tool. That's one way to do it. But, you know, you don't get overwhelmed. Here's what Missy and I do. These are like manual ways to do it as opposed to virtual. We try to condense our time with friends and family into high-quality experiences. So, and we've shared this before, and I think we've shared it in Social Month before, we have a family tradition called Allah Day. And, and it's because we have such a huge family spread out all over the world. We take all the holidays.
I didn't even think of this. Second nature to me.
Yeah, exactly. This is an incredible strategy.
Yeah.
We take all the holidays and we combine them into one day. So we call it holiday. So in the morning we open our Valentine's cards. Then we have an Easter egg hunt. And we have a big ass Thanksgiving dinner and a New Year celebration at night after we open our Christmas presents. And we do it all in one day, and it's friggin' awesome. And it's a super high quality experience. Mm-hmm. And if that's the only thing we do with our family, our huge extended family all year, it's so satisfying that. It's cool.
Totally.
Got that one done. Anything else is just gravy. And it's the same thing with our travel trips with our friends, you know. It's hard to see everybody. And Devers Brannon used to say, if you can't commit to two dinners a year, it's not a true friendship.
Right.
That's about right. That feels about right.
Totally. So,
organizing a trip for five or six couples and going somewhere for a week, having an adventure, spending some awesome time together, it checks those important boxes with a high quality experience. So that's one thing you could do. You can kind of condense your quality time into great experiences.
Totally. Yeah, that's great. Next question from Dan S. What are some of the most important qualities you seek in your friends? You kind of touched on this with the values, but the qualities can be something a little bit different.
Well, I think that we're looking for like-minded people. We're looking for positive people. We're looking for people who want to make a difference. We're looking for people who are concerned with being the best they can be.
Driven people.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily driven, although most tend to be more driven than most, I would say. We're looking for friends who will be there for you during good times and bad times. And we want to be that same kind of a couple, that are really supportive during the hard times, and we're there to celebrate with you during the good times. We want deep friendships that are meaningful, where we're learning and growing together. You know, a lot of people keep a great psychological distance between themselves and their friends. They never really open up, share much of themselves at a deep level. Conversations are about the newest restaurants or the weather or the, you know, latest golf scores, whatever. And we're just not interested in that. We don't have time or energy for it. We want every social encounter to be a learning, growing, enjoyable experience that we can feel good about having spent that time with someone other than ourselves. Because Missy and I, like, you know, we protect our time alone together. If we're going to give up a night alone together, it's got to be meaningful, right? So those are some of the things we look for, some of the qualities we look for in our friends.
Last question, secret question that has been sprung on you out of nowhere. And this is an inside joke that some Lifebook members will get. But bear with me as I ask this question from John V. Have you finally been able to get any sleep through the night since I overpowered you in that epic tennis match in Bali the time I dominated you at bowling in Park City, Colorado?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you sprung this out. Hold on. Dominated me in bowling. I remember winning that game and being like, that was the moment of my life. That was like literally – that was the pinnacle of my success. No matter – you know, I've created company after company, nothing compared to beating John Vaselli.
You didn't even bowl.
No, I didn't even bowl, but somehow he was – no, I drugged him. That's what happened. I don't remember what happened, but he was off that night. No, here's the thing about me and John Vaselli, who, by the way, is our art director at Lifebook. And John Vaselli, by the way, was the very first person I ever showed my Lifebook to when I decided to turn this into a company. I'm going to just tell this story real quick. Missy and I had figured out that Lifebook could really help a lot of people. And so we decided that we were going to take it out to the world. I got a hold of one of my serious business connections who had done all the rebranding for the Precious Moments company, and I said, I need a killer graphic designer to help me out. I need an art director here. I have to design this course called Lifebook, and I need to talk to someone. He said, well, I'm going to hook you up with the best guy I know. And John had done all of Michael Jordan's books, the New York Yankees. He's a book designer
and
a world-class graphic designer. Yeah, old school too. He's my age, so we learned before computers, which means we really learned typography and a lot of lost arts now. So I met with John, I had him over to my penthouse in the city the first time I ever met him, and we were sitting on the couch, and I took my Lifebook out and I said, dude, I want you to take a look at this thing. He's like looking at it and he's going through it, and I said, this is my Lifebook. This is what it is. This is how I made it. I'm going to turn this into a company, and I need an art director to help me design this thing. What do you think? And he's like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
A giant floor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
totally. So we started down the road. So that's the deal with John. Unfortunately, he has just got this twisted idea that he's better than me at sports. So what we've established is that he can beat me at all the non-athletic sports. Usually bowling, but not last time, I want to say. Darts, you know, and all the drinking games, right? Golf, he trashed me on the golf course. Tennis, no. Oh my God, I just realized he's telling public lies now.
It's slander. It's libel.
Vaselli, I'm coming after you.
All right. Glad you enjoyed that.
Better get your game on, bro.
All right. That ends the list of listener questions here. Thank you, members, so much for writing in. Write in for every month. Next month, financial.
Yeah, financial month next month.
Yeah, so we'll be answering
your
questions.
We're going to share our 12-category smart millionaire interviews. We've done a few more of them with some stellar,
I didn't know that.
Stellar people.
I'm excited for
getting
that.
Getting ready to do one with Vishen Lakhiani from Mind Valley and Jason Fladlian, our new partner at Lifebook. So I'm super excited about those. We'll be sharing next month.
Nice. Awesome. Before we wrap it up here, let's just talk a little bit about the social category, if you're okay. open to that. Got a few minutes here. So I was thinking about this with social, and this has come up before. This isn't something that I came up with by any means, but I feel like the social category is different than any other category in that sometimes you have to make draconian life choices to cut people out of your life. And that's one of the hardest things of any category, I feel. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just
Jordan,
me because, you know.
I will tell you that, and that isn't easy.
Right.
That's a hard
thing. Is there anything
else
harder to cut out of your life?
No, but I'll tell you, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. And this is something we discovered years and years ago. When you have a person in your life that, well, it comes down to something I discovered years ago in the emotional category. And it was that that riff I did on recurring pain. And basically what it says is this. Pain and suffering and frustration are an unavoidable part of life. If you're going to be a human on the planet, you're going to experience pain, suffering, and frustration. But recurring pain, meaning the same suffering over and over and over and over, has no place in the life of a conscious person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fighting with your spouse about the same friggin' thing for 10 years, you got to fix that.
Right.
That's not acceptable.
It's insanity.
It's insanity. I mean, it is. You've got to discover what the root cause is. You've got to root it out, and you've got to eradicate it from your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're committed to living the best, most intelligent, happiest life you can live,
mm-hmm.
you have to do it. And so in the social category, it comes up all the time. If you have a relationship that is a constant source of negativity or pain, you have a responsibility to yourself and the people that you love and your mission on this planet and your purpose in life to friggin' get to the bottom of it and eradicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that means removing the person out of your life. That's
right.
Like the most extreme – in the most extreme cases, that's what's required. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to read them the Riot Act and make them wrong and you know, go down the list of all their transgressions and
mm-hmm.
give them a formal decree that they're now kicked out of your life. Sometimes you can just fade away,
mm-hmm.
right? And just spend a little bit of less time with them. Other times, you don't need to be that extreme. You can just, like, here's what happened to me when I discovered this principle of recurring pain has no place in the life of a conscious person. That was around a very difficult situation I was going through with my brother Don.
Mm.
We were in this rut, and we'd been in this rut for a couple of years. We were not communicating. We were business partners, and we were having some problems in business.
Mm.
And I just realized my relationship with my brother is not where it needs to be, and it's been a continuous source of pain. And I need to fix it. Well, you can't. I mean, it's difficult to kick out a family member.
Right. Yeah.
I have drawn the line in the sand pretty strongly in the past with family members.
But yeah,
especially
that's hard.
My brothers who are addicts, because that's some really bad behavior that can mm-hmm. be exhibited when addicts are lashing out.
Yeah, that's a tough situation when it's a family member especially.
Yeah, so when it's a family member, it's hard to kick them out of your life. Sometimes I'm sure that it's appropriate, but in this case, it wasn't. In this case, I reached out to Don, and I started a conversation. I said, Don, I don't want things to be this way. You know, what do we need to do to fix this? I was met with nothing but love and open mm-hmm. arms. It was unbelievable.
And I bet you had a lot of anxiety surrounding it beforehand. And it's almost never the case.
No, because you make up all these stories in your head, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so I reached out to him. I was met with open arms. We talked it down. And that was probably 3 or 4 years ago at least now, maybe longer. And we just got a relationship back on track. Don's
mm-hmm.
always been one of my best friends, and
mm-hmm.
he's one of my best friends now. And we have a stellar relationship
mm-hmm.
now. So we fixed it. I fixed it. That recurring pain is no longer in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to kick people out of your life. It's so difficult to,
mm-hmm.
first of all, admit to yourself, to just allow the realization to penetrate you that
mm-hmm.
this person does not belong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to admit to begin with.
And then, it's surprisingly easy to ignore that and go
yeah,
on
that's
with
right.
it. Surprisingly easy to
that's
do
exactly
that.
That's exactly right. and then, you know, let alone fixing it, right?
Right.
Let alone deciding what to do. But you're right. There aren't a lot of categories of life that have such an intense strategy that you need to make a part of your plan if you want to really be successful in that category.
Mm-hmm. And a kind of micro of that level is your Twitter feed. Who are you following? When you log on to Facebook, when you log on to Twitter, I oftentimes find my wife logging onto Facebook and then just getting mad at all these posts of people that she's friends with. You know what I mean? Political posts every time. Like, why are you looking at this guy's status updates when it's just constant like political hate?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just unfollowing someone
is
actually a huge deal.
I can't relate to that completely because I'm not on social media, but I have the same experience when I on some email strings,
right.
I have the same experience every friggin' time I open the news.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, doesn't matter.
It's connection to the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like, oh my God, can we please get a filter on this so that I don't have to just be wading through all this negativity every single day?
Yeah,
that's right. You've got to guard yourself against that stuff.
That's exactly right. Do you think social media has overall cheapened social life amongst the average American, especially the average American teen, the average American millennial sort of thing?
Jordan, I think that with every major technological advance comes massive positives and massive negatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think you can point to a single advance of the last 20 years and not have a major positive side and a major negative
That's
side.
That's a good point.
And I think with how new the internet is, I mean, our brains just got hooked up together as a species 20 years ago. Everything's building on everything else. It's going so fast. We're going to hit a singularity in the next two decades. We're going to hit a point at which we can't even know what's over that horizon right now. And that's coming, and it's coming fast. I don't think we understand what the implications of all this is, positive or negative. The verdict is still really, really out. The implications of, you know, teenagers walking around staring into their phones all day long, every single day.
Yeah.
The implications of having all the answers to all the world's questions at the speed of light in your pocket. That's a different situation that we're in than we've ever been in before. And we've only been there for 5 or 6 years. So the verdict's still out.
Yeah. And the effect on social life is interesting because a lot of it has to do with how do you condense everything? You have 140 characters on Twitter. This is all the space you have to say what you want to say. Everything's being condensed down into sound bites,
right?
Your Facebook status. And I think that could really cheapen human social interaction. You know what I mean?
It's going to change it for sure.
Yeah.
I think that there, again, are going to be positives to that and negatives to that. You know, a positive to all this amazing communication is I can reach out to friends in any country. We can do things we could never do before.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's unbelievable how it has enhanced our social life in so many different ways.
Totally, yeah.
And at the same time, are we having the same kind of quality communication we used to? Don't know, man.
Yeah, it's.
I'll tell you what it comes down to at the end of the day. What technology and the whole new 21st century way has given us is unlimited opportunities.
Yeah.
And what navigating that terrain requires is taking responsibility for yourself. If you don't have your own rudder, if you don't have your own North Star, if you don't have your own compass, if you're not strong within yourself, if you don't have your own life vision, there are going to be a million companies and a million people that are going to try to sell you their stuff and take you on a ride. So, you know, a lot of people believe that as a species, we are profoundly ill-equipped to deal with what's coming from a self-responsibility standpoint.
That's exactly right.
Bottom line is this. Miss and I are trying to do our best to tip things in the right direction to the extent that we can. Most of the people that we're surrounded by are trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to be a part of the solution, not the problem.
Right.
So, you know, the more people we can get on this on that side of things, the better.
And, you know, the bottom line is with any piece of technology, especially with social technology, it depends on who's holding the phone, right? It depends on who's holding the gun, so to speak, that piece of technology. So if you – I guess a lot of it comes down to the parent. How is that kid raised? Does the parent even know how to cope and parent in this age? You know what I mean?
It's such a challenge.
It is.
You know, we just did parenting last month, and one of the things I said is – one of the things that Missy and I have discovered as a parenting strategy that we would highly recommend, and we don't put our stuff on other people, but this one's an important one. Mm-hmm. You have got to limit your kids' screen time, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
We're not sure that there's a positive and negative side to everything. We're not sure what the negative ramifications of being addicted to these screens are, mm-hmm. but what we do know is that they are totally addicting. Adults yeah. can't even handle it, let yep. alone a 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. You have access to all kinds of stuff, including pornography, which mm-hmm. there's no way you can police that. You just can't.
Yeah, yeah, it's completely – it's out of the bag.
Right. So
yeah.
literally what we've done is we have limited – we've put incredibly strong boundaries around screen time.
Yeah.
3 hours a day. And that's a shitload of time.
Yeah, totally. It's
you
true.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's better than 12.
Right.
And that's what these kids are doing.
Mm-hmm. I spend more than 3 hours a day on my screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I probably do too when it comes to, you know, if you add work in and
oh, but
laptop.
That's work. Don't worry. It's just, that's yeah, work. Exactly. I'm not on Facebook. Screen's still
or
on.
Or YouTube or,
yeah, totally.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's one thing. We're not sure how everything's going to shake out. But what mm-hmm. we do know is that it's got to be horribly unhealthy for mm-hmm. a kid to be living their life glued to that screen. So we get Justin outside every single day. Mm-hmm. We make sure that Justin, he's on 12 dot. Here are the 12 habits that you've got to do every single day. And yeah, we want him to have the benefits of the amazing technological world that we live in. Mm-hmm. But we want to mitigate what we know is unhealthy behavior, even though you can't prove it yet. I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. No,
couldn't prove
it.
That mercury fillings were bad for you. Doctors used to recommend Camels over Lucky Strikes.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And that's what I will end on this thought. That's what I worry about the most is you got the physical ramifications that literally it's going to mess with your reward center. It's going to burn out your eyes, all this stuff. But then there's the sociological ramifications. And what I mean by that is one of the scariest aspects of technology and social media specifically is the sated feeling you get, the satisfaction feeling you get by opening up your phone, checking the status feeds, you know, doing your thing. That has sated you socially for however long it takes before you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That never used to be the case. You would have
no,
that.
It's a new feeling for human beings.
You would have to organize a social gathering and look forward to it and go and experience it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Now, is there any other well that humans go to more than their social media on their phone?
Mm-hmm.
12, 24 times a day.
Yeah.
Do you exercise 24 times
well,
a day?
But let me tell you, it's not just social media, Jordan. It can be whatever your thing is. It can be pornography. It can be
yeah.
in this day and age, you can find a deep niche for any little mm-hmm. interest or passion or mm-hmm. fetish or kink or whatever that you have, and you can go all the way with it, which is what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, that's where self-responsibility comes in.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened with the 21st century technology is that it will allow us to go as deep as we want on mm-hmm. anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't friggin' have control of ourselves, if we don't have command of ourselves, we could be in big, big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen over the last few years is a huge surge in addictive behavior,
mm-hmm.
non-drug, non-alcohol addictive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Totally addictive. Same exact criteria as all the other addictions.
Right.
And no one knows what the ramifications are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason that Miss and I stepped in strong, and we stand by that all day long. You know, and until we figure out a little bit more about what's going on.
Right, yeah.
Right?
So I got a baby daughter, and I don't have to worry about that
yeah,
for
dude.
A few more years.
No.
And I'm just going to let that be out of my mind.
Yeah, forget absolutely.
It. Once it comes along, we'll cross that bridge when we come
well,
to it.
Well, we need to
right
move
now.
To Tahiti and get on an
yeah,
island.
There you go. No screw. We'll just have a banana.
iPad. What's an iPad?
We have a banana leaf that we carve all of our stuff into. Like writing on banana leaves is how we do it now. all right, man. Thanks for coming in
yeah,
to take
great this spending this time with you.
Great podcast.
Love you guys.
Yeah, I love you, Lifebook listeners. All you guys want to send in your questions, like I said, take the Introspect assessment, free for VIPs. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Jordan River and John Butcher signing off saying I'll see you next time on the Lifebook VIP podcast.